Morning, U.S. versus Perez.
Good morning, Your Honors.
Morning, Counsel.
May it please the Court, I'm Eric Schwing here on behalf of Stephen Perez. Your Honors, it took the government three tries to convict Mr. Perez of a RICO conspiracy and RICO charge. RICO, the crime of being a criminal, essentially in this case elevates state law offenses into a federal offense by alleging and showing that these offenses were conducted as part of a specified RICO organization. The enterprise is specified, the pattern of racketeering activity by the predicate offenses. And the case law is, I think, clear on RICO charges. The government cannot charge one RICO offense and obtain a conviction on the other. There's another layer on top of all of this, and that is the RICO conspiracy charge, which says people have agreed to essentially violate RICO, sort of a double conspiracy, a conspiracy on top of a conspiracy. And I think the case law is also clear on conspiracy charges. The government cannot charge one conspiracy and get a conviction on the other. There was a 43-count indictment, or 43-page long indictment. In this case, it charged a specific RICO enterprise. It charged a specific structure, purposes. It specified the members and talked about their roles in the RICO conspiracy. First trial never went to the jury. It was mistried. The second trial included a number of co-defendants. The case originally had been divvied up into, because it was very large.
We remember the case.
I'm sure. And then in the second trial, the jury was hung on Mr. Perez's charges, and the case was tried for a third time, at which point the government, and I think if you look at the government's brief on pages 9 and 10, you get the perfect flavor for what happened here, rewrote the indictment. They redacted it, renumbered it, repaginated it. And I think the district judge sort of encapsulated what had happened perfectly. He said, now the focus is on strictly on Defendant Perez.
Why is that a problem?
Because the focus is not strictly on Defendant Perez. The focus is on the RICO enterprise. The focus is on the RICO conspiracy. If the focus had been strictly on Defendant Perez, Your Honor, that case would not have been in federal court. It would have been in state court because the two predicate acts that are charged are state law.
The focus is on the predicate acts. I thought from your opening brief you were trying to tell us that the predicate act of attempting to murder the person referred to as victim E in the indictment was not in the indictment. But it turns out that it is.
Well,
and that the judge simply redacted the indictment or accepted the government's redaction so that the jury would have to consider only those portions that were actually relevant.
It's not in the indictment that was returned by the grand jury, Your Honor, in the form
21?
That it was brought back by the grand jury.
What's paragraph 21? Isn't that victim E?
In the original indictment.
Yeah.
Or the second superseding indictment.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So what's the problem?
The problem is that whatever went to the trial jury in this case, whatever went to the trial jury wasn't what came back from the grand jury.
It was identical, but for the numbering.
Did Mr. Perez object to this redaction?
No, Your Honor, he did not. This is
so what you would have us do is adopt a rule that the entire original indictment must go to the jury, and it's plain error to do otherwise.
Not as a general rule, Your Honor, no.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
Narrow it down for me.
Again, I think this is a special case because it's a RICO case. Okay? And a RICO case says you are guilty of being a part of a certain organization. That's the crime. And the proof comes in violations of state or federal law, essentially. Those are the predicate acts. So we have a RICO charge. What Mr. Perez was not convicted of attempted murder. He was convicted of a RICO violation. Well, even once removed from that, a RICO conspiracy. Again, the predicate acts are not technically crimes in federal court. They're predicate acts. They're not something that the federal court could have, without more, tried Mr. Perez on. So this rises, and the Supreme Court is talking about this. This rises, I think, to a jurisdictional problem, because if a grand jury, if Mr. Perez is tried for a RICO offense different than the one that the grand jury returned, if he is tried for a conspiracy different than the one that the grand jury returned, then the Supreme Court in Bain says this is a jurisdictional problem. So I think the argument that the predicate acts for which he was convicted are contained in whatever went to the jury doesn't mean anything, because the predicate acts are not federal crimes. They're state crimes.
So what should the district court have done differently here?
I don't think the district court was asked to do anything differently than what he had done. What had been done?
That's not my question. You're saying it was plain error to do what it did.
Yes.
So what would have avoided the plain error?
In this case, what would have avoided the plain error was to give the original...
all 43 pages of the indictment.
Yep. Or...
Now, most of the defendants in this conspiracy were complaining that they were all being tarred with too broad a brush. And you're telling us it was plain error, in essence, to redact and present only the portions of the indictment that addressed Perez.
I think the record supports me on this issue, Your Honor, because, as you know, when they were tried all in Moss, Mr. Perez wasn't convicted. When the jury looked at the big, the big picture, they hung themselves on Mr. Perez's charges. So it's a tough call for a trial counsel. I always want my guys out. I'll try to get them severed. That's true. But in this case, when the jury saw the 43 pages of charge and evidence, they could not convict Mr. Perez. It was only after the charges had been, trimmed back, modified, renumbered, and morphed around into what Judge Castillo said was, now the focus is specifically on Mr. Perez. I don't think that's a correct characterization of what the grand jury did. The focus was on the racketeering enterprise. The focus was on a specific conspiracy, and that was what the grand jury looked at. That's what the grand jury
looked at. The focus was whether he was a part of the conspiracy. He was the only person on trial. These instructions were given.
That's correct, but the charge. The charge defines.
I understand the charge is larger and involves a conspiracy, but we're not trying to convict the rest of the people. The government is trying to convict that particular individual.
And I would respond. This has to be looked at in context, and the conspiracy that was charged by the grand jury and the RICO enterprise that was charged by the grand jury was not what went to the trial jury. So I would ask Your Honors that the conviction be vacated. I think there is a jurisdictional problem here, and I think there's a plain error problem here. Thank you for inviting me to come and argue to you.
Thank you, Counsel. Mr. Fulk.
May it please the Court. There was no plain error here. I think counsel has lost sight of the fact that the only redaction he's complained about took place in the second phase of the jury's deliberations. There's no complaint about any redaction that took place in the first phase of the jury's deliberations, when the only question before the jury was whether Mr. Perez was guilty or not guilty of count one, the RICO conspiracy.
Was the indictment redacted so that it was only count one that was presented?
Yes, count eight against Mr. Perez had been dismissed prior to that phase of at trial, earlier in the trial. So Mr. Perez was convicted of count one. The jury then had a second phase of deliberations, at which the only question that they would have been called upon to answer was whether Mr. Perez was to be held responsible for predicate acts of attempted murder that would enhance his potential sentence, that is, increase the statutory maximum sentence from 20 years to life imprisonment. And there were three such qualifying predicate acts that had been alleged in the indictment. The other predicate acts that were to be used for sentencing enhancement purposes were alleged against other defendants. Mr. Perez was named in three of them, the Rios brothers attempted murders and the Tomas Rivera attempted murder. And the jury found, as to the Tomas Rivera attempted murder, that Mr. Perez had pulled the trigger, that he was personally responsible for being the shooter in that attempted murder, and that Mr. Rivera had been seriously wounded. Because the jury was not called upon to find anybody else responsible for an act, a racketeering act, or a murder, or an attempted murder that would have, it just simply wasn't an issue here, and so there was no plain error in omitting those allegations.
Did you all try to show that he was the trigger man with respect to the Rios brothers?
Yes. The jury
declined to find that.
The jury found that he was responsible for them, but did not make the findings that would have enhanced his sentence.
On the gun.
On the gun, right. For those two attempted murders. But on the Tomas Rivera attempt, the jury did. Obviously, I don't think there's a jurisdictional problem, that there's a well-pled allegation of RICO conspiracy. And the focus was on Mr. Perez properly, certainly proper with regard to these three alleged acts that would have increased his statutory maximum sentence. For these reasons, we ask that you affirm the conviction of Mr. Perez.
Thank you, counsel. Thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement.